Now, here's a wonderful man, Keith Ellis, poet and translator and scholar. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you, Keith, because you're the man we want to hear from about this wonderful journalist, poet, story writer, etc., Mr. Eduardo Galeano. We lost him on the 13th of this month.
Yes.
Now, and you very appropriately pointed out he did some very specific things for which he ought to be lauded. And the first country that came up was Paraguay. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, Paraguay is for us an obscure country now. But Paraguay was very important when the countries of South America were getting their independence from Spain. We know a lot about Simón Bolívar and what he did and the great things he did to achieve the independence of some of the countries and the other heroes that we hear of in South America. But one that we don't hear a lot about and one that Eduardo Galeano brought into view quite strongly because his book became so important, The Open Veins of Latin America, the tillage of a continent for five centuries, is the one who was really responsible for the independence of Paraguay.
Mm.
And his name was José Gaspar Rodríguez de Francia, mm-hmm. known as Dr. Francia.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor because he was a PhD, highly educated man, studied in Argentina, the University of Córdoba, the great university of those times. And he really outwitted the Spaniards and managed to achieve the independence of Paraguay without any military struggle. He did it through debate and quickly became, I don't know we have a lot of time, so I'll go
No, expand as you wish.
Oh,
please.
I see. Okay. So he became one of the recognized people in a junta that was in charge of governing Paraguay for a time. But it soon became clear that he was the brilliant mind among the people who were forming that group of leaders of Paraguay. Mm-hmm. And he very soon, first of all, he resigned from the junta because he didn't like the way things were going, because he thought that the army was having too much power mm-hmm. in Paraguay. And he thought also that the Creole group was replacing the Spanish rulers without a real change. He told the people that their revolution was being betrayed. And he really wanted...
Kind of like George Washington.
Yeah, he really wanted a revolutionary change for Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he resigned for a while, but people wanted him back, so he came back. And he was one of the few governing until... About and of course, Paraguay became the country that was independent and continued to be independent, the first country in South America from 1811 onwards
mm-hmm.
and without interruption. Venezuela was independent before that time with Simón Bolívar, but he lost power for a time to the Spaniards, Bolívar did. And so the continuity of independence is claimed by Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And credit is due that to Dr. Francia. And he, then there was a struggle for power. And he, by 1816, was regarded, because he had a kind of... period when he was put to the test to see how well he would do with ruling Paraguay, having the power to rule Paraguay. And during that period, he did it so impressively mm-hmm. that by 1816, they named him the supreme and perpetual dictator of Paraguay. That was his title. and dictator was used in that sense in a friendly way.
As with Julius Caesar, right?
Well, exactly. The Roman concept of the guide,
mm-hmm.
the guide of a country because of a brilliant mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so Francia, the main thing he did from the beginning was to recognize the importance of the people, all the people of Paraguay. And the people, for him, he gave the rights to the indigenous people, that the indigenous people were, of course, the majority of the people. He appreciated the Guarani language, the Guarani culture, made Guarani one of the official languages of Paraguay, and because it was spoken by the majority of the people, it really became the dominant language in Paraguay. And he passed some laws from the very early period that were irritating to the European people, the Spanish people who stayed on in Paraguay. He decreed that, for example, Spaniards wouldn't marry each other. He wanted the integration of
wow.
the population. And so if a Spanish person was getting married, the partner had to be someone who was indigenous or black or mestizo in Paraguay. That, of course, was irritating.
This is an advanced thinker we're dealing with.
Well, he did things like that. And and what he did, because he really wanted an integrated Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he also, in the field of agriculture, where the Spaniards had one crop per year, he'd introduced a kind of agriculture where there were two or three crops. And so Paraguay became rapidly the most prosperous country in South America.
Hmm.
And, of course, the most peaceful, because he insisted on peace. One of the things that he also negotiated for early in his campaign was that he should have control of the army. And so the army became a force that was integrated into the governing structure and something that would be working together with the political direction of the country
mm-hmm.
that he exercised. And so he became known as El Supremo, the Supreme One
mm-hmm.
in Paraguay. Well, this soon became a great irritant, particularly for Great Britain, because Great Britain, by that time, had access and control of the lucrative parts of the economies of countries like Argentina and Chile. And they, because Paraguay was so prosperous, they wanted an entry into Paraguay. And they tried to negotiate that with Dr. Francia. But he said the terms that they were offering were no. He couldn't agree to those terms because he wanted Paraguayan sovereignty to be recognized, and he wanted control of the economy, full mm-hmm. control of the economy. And so they'd have to negotiate with him, and because of his reputation for being stern with these Europeans,
mm-hmm.
They were...
uppity.
They became afraid of him, really. They became afraid of him. And they wondered whether they'd be allowed to get out of Paraguay if they came with uppity manners
mm-hmm.
to Dr. Francia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, and so his reputation as what they called a tyrant became established in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And the British got people, historians, to write about this tyrant in Paraguay.
Mm.
And there are two brothers in Scotland who wrote about this. And, of course, the book, the first book quickly sold out and was well promoted by the British. So Francia got this reputation in Europe as the tyrant. The people in Paraguay loved him because of the prosperity, because of the peace of Paraguay.
Yeah.
And so another thing that worked in the disfavor of Francia's reputation with the Europeans is that he didn't get along well with Simón Bolívar. And the problem with Simón Bolívar was that Simón Bolívar was influenced greatly by von Humboldt. Do you remember Humboldt was regarded as the second discoverer of the Americas? Because he had, near the end of the previous century.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Keith, I'm afraid we're closing our time here.
Well,
I realize now I better ask you to come to the studio. I want you to tell this story, because particularly now you bring Bolívar, we have to hear this. It's we'll make it a chapter, but can you, just last point. So Galeano wanted us to know about this.
Galeano wrote about it well. In his book, and we have to notice these things that Galeano did. He writes so beautifully that people read and they pass on from page to page, this wonderful metaphorical language, this careful research, fascinating for the reader, these details that he produces. We tend to go quickly through them, and we just see the broad picture of this pillage of the continent.
Yeah.
But one of the things that he did was to correct Pablo Neruda, because Neruda, from time to time, makes these political errors. Uh-huh. And one of the errors was to condemn Francia as a traitor in his book, The Canto General.
Now you really have opened a chapter. I insist we call you again soon, because I want to go on those two subjects, Bolivar and Neruda and Paraguay.
Yeah, it's a very complicated and rich part of Latin American history that needs revisiting, really.
Well,
not just by us on this program, but by Latin America in general, because what needs to be effected was really a reconciliation between Simón Bolívar and Dr. Francia.
You're the man we're going to turn to, Keith Ellis, to tell us all about that. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Good night. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you've been listening to the Taylor Report, and I want to thank Sean, and we'll see you next week.